the calling. Bridget has shared a lot of our family moments and more personal integration in the church, our relationships, highlights, moments, events in the church. And I could repeat all of these things, and maybe I will at some point refer to some of it. But what I had on my heart to share this morning with the church is about the calling of the Lord. And you see the verse just next to me here on the screen. A servant of Jesus, the Messiah, called to be an apostle and set apart for God's gospel. And what I want to say is that to Bridget and I, we came here I don't know what I have. We came to Hong Kong because of the calling of God. We didn't come to be tourists. We didn't come because we wish we would have come. Because in fact, living on the east coast of Canada, we knew nothing of Asia. Zero. We heard a few things about the typhoons and volcanoes of the Philippines. That's about all we knew. We didn't know anything. Because our being on the east coast of Canada, we refer more to Europe and to Africa, or even to Central America. Yeah. So for us to have come here, it had to be a higher calling and a higher purpose. When we talk about calling, there are different types of calling. We have the calling of the grace of God, the calling of the gospel to be saved. That happened to us in 1978 from a life of disorder and sin and drugs and messed up life. This week, last week, we were talking about, I think it's one of our small meeting this week on Zoom, I think on the Wednesday night group. If it would not have been of the grace of God, the romantic pastor would not exist, and our couple's life would have been a disaster. Actually, Bridget's dad had warned her as a teenager not to go out with me. And I knew that he was right because of the life that I had before. Without Jesus, our life would have been a disaster. But because of the grace of God and the calling of the gospel, we were saved, and we joined that one church that is our home church, to the church we are going back. This church is still our Canadian employer. We have so many friends. Our senior pastor will be my former best youth leader, one of the best youth leaders in the group that had a great men of God, and we love them and they love us. Our city has been the church in our town was one of the pioneer Assemblies of God Church of the French language in Quebec, and has produced most evangelists and pastors and missionaries. So we are going back to a good church and a community that will love us, and we love them. The second calling is all of us have received a calling to live a life worthy of the gospel, worthy of the salvation, worthy of the price that has been paid for salvation, worthy of the redemption that we have received. So we have received this call, the training, the discipleship, the learning of the Word of God, the example of godly pastors that were on in my life. I had great pastors in my life, both in Canada and here in Hong Kong. And then the third one is the calling or the setting apart for a specific purpose, for ministry or a missionary. That's why I chose this text here. So my life here in Hong Kong and Bridget's, I think, is divided into two parts, pre-1997 and after 1997. So from 78 to 1990, it was the first part of our mission training, and we got into the ministry in 1991. God called me in the ministry. 1989 and 1990, I received a call to go to Hong Kong and to China. After I've come to two short mission trips with the church, Joy Fellowship Church from the Bronx, New York, with my good friend, Pastor Byron Brenneman, who was a great godly influence in my life. Anyway, that's how we came in 1990, when I came back with 24 from our church in Quebec. We joined with 13 from New York, and we were 37 on the team walking the streets of Hong Kong with Pastor Byron when he challenged me to move here. And you heard my story before. And then all of my words, my answer to him was, "Are you crazy? I cannot." And then I started a list of "I cannot" and a list of reasons why it was not possible and why I could not come here. And then suddenly the voice of God came to me and says, "Renee, did you hear what your mouth just spoke? Your mouth spoke your faith in me." And then when I realized that all my words were unbelief, I repented and I prayed the Lord to show me His will and His ways. And then when we returned to Canada, we talked with my senior pastor at the time, the church, and everybody says, yeah, you were made for that. You go for that, because already I believe that in the calling, the body of the church should be part of the calling. The body of the church sees it and recognizes and attests it. It's very, very important for that this will happen. So that's how I was called in 1990. And then in 1991, in November, we moved here with our family. We arrived on the 6th of November, 1991, to Hong Kong with Fan Ling Wai. It has become our home with a small group of missionaries who attended Lighthouse. And he invited us. It was a new church, and this come with us. And then we came here, and Bridget explained a little bit how we got connected with Lighthouse. And she mentioned something, but when we came to Lighthouse, we were here to minister. But when we came to Lighthouse, we were also ministered to. That's very important for missionaries, because we were out of an organization. We were not with an organization that has a pastoral staff and counseling and the structures. We were on our own here. But Lighthouse, with the missionary experience of Pastor Steve and Sister Mary, I don't know how many conversations we've had. And they were interested in what we did, tell their adventures and everything. And then they would speak and give advice and continue. And as we were going through also family difficulties, like a crisis and tensions, and we were away from, you know, our church back home and all this, they were there to comfort our hearts and calm our emotions and brings and restore hope into our life. And they were very, very important. So praise the Lord. Do I have the clicker? Okay, so that's my title. And I added another part of that verse, because the first one, wanted to insist on the setting apart, that word, setting apart, that is really, really important, the setting apart. It is God who does that. It's like a marking of boundaries. If you look at the original text, it's like God is marking your boundaries. He's making you fit into something very specific. And I want to insist on that because all of us have various kind of callings, but some will get a calling. And I think that my calling was from birth. I got a mother that was very fearless, very positive-minded. And I've never had fear. I could travel anywhere, come to before I was Christian, I was hitchhiking across Canada, sleep under the bridge, or come to any cities at any time of day or night, and always felt confident I'll find a place, I'll find a solution. I've always lived my life like this. I'll find a solution. There's something good is going to happen. I think I inherited that from my mother. And the setting apart started from young. I've always been adventurous and desire to see. And my mother always attested to that. Says you were like that from the time you were young, and I always wanted to. Remember early when I was a young pastor with the youth in Canada, we would have weekends of prayer and fasting. And one time, we were really praying for the nations, and we had shown movies. I don't know how we got these movies. They were from Office National of Canada, something, Movies of Canada. And they were showing some natural disasters in the Philippines, and like big, big things that happened in the Philippines. And we had prayed and we fasted for the Philippines. Not knowing that it was part of a calling much, much later. I never thought I would have been going to the Philippines. And the second verse, it says, we receive grace, and it takes a lot of grace. And here it says, a commission as an apostle, that's that version, but actually it is like an apostleship or actually, we have been apostolized. It's like a verb. We have been like a sending off. You receive the grace, and then you receive the. You need to have this sending off into your life, and that's to us what happened. And it was important in my life. I didn't want to go around and appoint myself and raise funds, and I never did raise funds in any church. I wanted my church back home to acknowledge the calling that I had, and I it was important in my mind. I called it the Acts 13 sending off. It was important I would be sent like that, and this is what happened. And that was our sending off from our church back home. It was very important for us because we've always had our church behind us. My senior pastor at the time believed in me. He was behind me. We didn't have a salary when we came here. We came by faith, but the church was taking a monthly love offering for our family. And they told us, whatever comes in, you will receive. Sometimes big, sometimes small. When it was time to go to visit Canada, well, there was money to buy the tickets. There was something, they were always there. When I needed the letters for the Canadian government as my employers, the church was there. A senior pastor visited us in 1992. He actually was here at the same time as our mothers came. Anyway, that is a memory that I have. Anyway, the church was supportive, and that was when we came here. And this is what we looked like when we were sent off with our children. That's the age of our children when we came here. Bridget mentioned we had two churches. I'm always reminded of the French songs. I have two love. One is my country, one is Paris. It's a French song. So I have two love. One is my church home and one is my church here. The church I was saved, I was trained, and I had good pastors. And Lighthouse, I continue to grow, to be more equipped. I learned and I was called, and I was called to fulfill my calling. And for me, it's been important. I was aware of that. I was aware that I was an ambassador of Christ. Many times I traveled alone. I traveled with team. I knew I was representing Christ, but I was also, I don't know why I had this in mind, I was representing my country. I was a Canadian. I was a representative of the church, of Lighthouse. So I always wanted to be very careful in how I presented myself. But it was important. I was always focusing on fulfilling my calling. And one of the first things that was important to me and a big part of my life pre-1997 has been the language learning. Learning Chinese for me has been part. It was not something separate. It has been part of my calling, of my ministry. It was important. I realized it very early. I enjoyed it. It was not difficult for me. It was a pleasure. It was a discovery. It was exciting. Many of my friends made big promise they were going to learn Chinese, but they all abandoned. But I never did abandon learning Chinese. Even today, I'm still amazed how God has blessed me with the language, and I still remember so much, even though I'm using it much less right now. So I fulfilled my calling. Sometimes this calling brought some tensions or misunderstanding, because after 1997, when I became a pastor here in Lighthouse with Pastor Jennifer, it's like it was important that I was going to continue my original reason for coming, which was all the relationship with the African students. To me, it was very, very important, and I always look at myself and interrogated myself. Is that true? Is that what I'm doing? But actually, the answer was I'm fulfilling what I have been called. I haven't changed. I'm continuing what I believe is the call of God. I've been always honestly and with all my intention and my focus was to fulfill my calling. I've always receive from the Lord this facility to adapt anywhere on any sorts of bed and any conditions on a train. I slept with the cows. I slept with rats on my head. I slept in the winters with the snow, no windows. I had the diarrhea and on the farm, and I went to the toilet and all sorts of circumstances. I adapted to everything that I was facing and things. And one of the things that always have amazed me is the grace of God to be accepted and to be loved everywhere that I went. And I don't know, this is a miracle to me, these aspects of relationship everywhere that the Lord has brought me. Many things that I have learned. I have learned to depend upon the grace of God. I have become a servant of the gospel according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the inner working or the energy or the working of his power. It's actually a verse that I'm very interested in that, because you will find in this verse the two New Testament Greek words for power of Holy Spirit. The working is the energia, the inner working, the invisible power, the sanctifying, the training, the transforming power and the life of the preacher or the ministers. And then you have the working of his power, the dunamis power, the equipping with supernatural force, the ability to go on and preach. And I remember having preached to lepers and hugging a lady that was a leper, and she was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I would go. Well, when Pastor Steve invited me for a lunch in 1997, and surprised me with Sister Mary, and they asked me to join with Pastor Jennifer to be pastor of Lighthouse. Wow, that cannot be, you know, because at the time, well, you still hear my French accent, and many times I invent new words that do not exist in the English dictionary. I felt so inadequate. I just couldn't believe that they would ask me to. If I become a pastor in Lighthouse, that means I have to speak regularly. Sometimes they ask me to speak one time, two times, because they were the Bible teacher of the church. But to realize that with Pastor Jennifer we would be sharing the teaching, I felt totally inadequate. Never, never a single time it came through my mind, the thought of being a pastor in Hong Kong. So now it was like a new thing to consider. And then they said, no, your English is okay. People understand when you speak and you have the anointing. This is the most important. And I said, yeah, but, you know, it's a different thing. They have to listen to me all the time with my French accent. But anyway, the church prayed, we prayed, and then we started to work together with Pastor Jennifer in 1997, and again, it was the grace of God. It was the grace of God. And one of the things that in the grace of God to me was, I've learned these things in the ministry, is when there's a challenge, there's always, like, I want to find a solution. I want to be part of bringing this project further. I want to see how we can go to the next step. And anyway, that's a long story because there's a lot of details, but I'm the only foreigners and the first one who created a Uyghur Christian website that is used all over the world among the community. And in 2010, I have redone the website in a more modern coding with the help of Ben Tillman, and we created a second website of Bible resources and Uyghur. A lot of things that people do not know here in Lighthouse, you remember Jim Wood and his wife Linda. We work a lot to develop some audio Bible study, gospel, like to reach and to teach, to make it into the hands, because at first there was no CDs or DVDs. There was only VHS tape. Then CDs came, then the MP3s, CDs, and then from MP3 CDs to MP3 players. Good. My first mission trip to the Philippines, outside of the Tagaytay conference, but the first one when I went really to visit Pastor Mayette in 1999, we traveled to her place and we baptized 25 of the youngest members of the church there. It was such a great, and I get to know all of the young people that Pastor Mayette had started to teach from childhood into primary school and secondary school, that are now the leaders of the church in Albay and in Laguna. It is a wonderful experience and the privilege to counsel and do premarital counseling and marriage also. 2008, the first medical mission. Wow, that is like, how do you do a medical mission when you have no medical training, no nothing that you know how to do or don't know anything about anything. And again, it is like the grace of God and the provisions of the power of God. Pastor Amor at the time became my main advisor, because in their church they were doing a mini medical mission monthly, and the church, with the help of a Christian who was the head of a private hospital there. And I, oh, Pastor Amor, how do you do this? How do you build a budget? How do you decide of the doctors? How do you decide of the medicine and things like that? So then we started, and it's become such important things. Praise the Lord. Anyway, I could speak the whole day here, and I will not. Praise the Lord. Okay, in closing, one more point here. I became a servant of the church. As God commissioned me to work for you so that I may complete my ministry of the Word of God. And from the time that we were called into Lighthouse, as we mentioned, both of us, Bridget and I, was founded on very, very good Bible teachers and good solid foundation. So it had to continue. And with Pastor Jennifer, we agreed. This is the strength of Lighthouse. That's why people come to Lighthouse. We must focus. And then we started the inductive Bible study training. We did a lot of that so that people would be grounded in understanding, observing, interpreting, and applying the word of the Lord. The small group Bible studies, the Friday night group at Brother Kim has always been a great, I don't know how many Bible studies and how many books of the Bible they have studied, but the Wednesday night group, as we had the Zoom this week, It's amazing all the things we have studied in the Word of God and the importance of our fellowship together. We have studied so many topics. But another thing that we have learned in Lighthouse here is the fellowship. At first, we had the fellowship of the missionaries. But in order to fulfill a calling, like for me, as I explained the calling here, you need a body. You need a church family. You need you cannot do that alone. And one of my great transformation of understanding ministry when I moved to Asia. In Canada, we come from a very individualistic and competitive church kind of ministry, based ministry. It's like super pastors. They are preaching better than the neighbors, and the church is bigger. There's a bit of competitions and fear to share together so that they will steal our sheep, you know, things like this. Mm-hmm. And also in Lighthouse, the support, like we often say Lighthouse is a mission church. And it is true, because what I have could accomplish in China, in the Philippines, or in other countries in Asia, we went to India and Sri Lanka in 2006 after the tsunami for the first time. Been to Cambodia more recently, been to Sri Lanka back with Brother Anil, and then we've been to Bangladesh 3 times. The wonderful experience of discovering new cultures and the way to live. Sometimes it's dangerous, but God is there with us. But we need a church body that is okay with that, because it may be a conflict between the pastor is traveling somewhere, you're not taking care of us. But when the church has a heart for the mission, they also see the benefit of lending your pastor. Or as I said it many times, and I feel it from all of my heart, every single time I have been on a mission trip, short or longer, I'm the one who benefits the most as a pastor. So when I come back, I am renewed, I am refreshed. I have more zeal, I have more desire to serve the Lord. I've been challenged. I've seen a great model of faith around me. I've been challenged. So when you come, it will revive you. So instead of become political and religious over the long time and fall into rot, you always get out of your rot and you learn something fresh and learn something new. So I want to thank Lighthouse. I want to thank the maturity of the members of Lighthouse for the understanding that for praying,
and
one of the highlight I think of Lighthouse, we must see it, is the sisters of Lighthouse, the wonderful sisters that we have here. There's no words to talk about you sisters who are listening today, how much you have touched our hearts. You really did. With your selfless attitude, your generosity, always inviting us for food, sharing, your seriousness, your commitment toward your employer, your example, your faithfulness and giving to supporting your family, your sacrifices. Many of you have returned to the Philippines and did great ministry and brought blessings to the land of the Philippines. But you have built an atmosphere of fellowship to add to what Lighthouse is known for. Without our sisters, Lighthouse would not be what it is. And so I want to thank you so much for accepting us, having made us felt part of a great family. I want to thank Pastor Jennifer for her friendship through the years. Melrose, my mission partner, and the board of Lighthouse through the years have always been wonderful to work with. We've had our little moment of of attention sometimes, but basically one thing that I've always been sure of is that everybody that we have worked with in the ministry in Lighthouse, they love Jesus as much as I do. And they love Lighthouse as much as I do. And this has always been my safety, my rock, and my confidence. So I'm going back to Canada. But you are my church family. And I love you. And I want to thank you for having supported my abruptness sometimes, my harsh tones, and the ones that I have offended at times with my words. I ask for your forgiveness. It was not my intentions. It's maybe a bit of my personality. But my intention was always to fulfill the calling that the Lord has given me. And I want to read the scriptures in closing, because that's the perfect closing verse, I think, from the King James, especially. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. If it is a farewell service, we must at least say farewell and to the scriptures. So when I read this text yesterday, this is wow. And that is also a good closing, because this is a very strong word. Letters that Paul has given to the church with that has many problems. And Paul's been talking very straightforward to the church and is exhorting with very strong words. And then he closes. Finally, brethren, farewell. But the farewell here, actually it's a funny word. It's the word rejoice. And it's true. I'm not making it up. It's in the dictionary. Read any commentary that you want. It's rejoice. It's like, okay, before I'm closing, that don't worry, be happy. It's just like something like this. Things will be fine here. God is here with you. We are going ahead. Rejoice. We are brothers and sisters. We have the same hope and everything. And then he shares a four-part strong exhortation that I think are so filled with wisdom for Lighthouse in the time of transition. Be perfected. Be of good comfort to one another. And another way to read this is like Paul is saying in closing, receive my strong exhortations. Be able to, because sometimes pastors or words that would come sometimes must have some corrective elements. Sometimes rebukes. Sometimes the tones may be hard, but it has to be, because we are interacting with attitudes and problems and situations. Sometimes it's encouragement, sometimes it's uplifting and inspiring, sometimes it is a bit harsh. So receive my exhortation, be of good comfort, or comfort one another. It depends of which Bible version you're reading. Be of one mind. Strive to go in the same directions and finding that place to agree with one another and do everything to live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And, of course, in Lighthouse, we cannot do it right now. Greet one another with a holy kiss. That is how we were received in Lighthouse at the beginning. Sister Lisa, Brother Joe, and many of the early Christians, when you would walk through the door of Lighthouse Church, you were received with a hug, with a kiss, and we felt that welcome into Lighthouse. So this is a wonderful church, wonderful experience. Thank you so much. God bless you. Farewell. Rejoice. Amen.